Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, like we said, the Dow was up slightly this week, 1.3%, S&P up 0.8, NASDAQ was flat. The 10-year dropped a little, 1.78. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Oil was up to 87.25 a barrel as the tensions with Russia increase. And for the week, we saw it up 2.5%. Year to date, oil's up 16%. While all those others I just mentioned are all down. But the big one that's down right now, and the big one we're going to keep talking about as inflation sticks around, is high PE tech. ARK, you know, the ETF, down 29.9% year to date. That's right, you heard me right. So we're going through what's called right now a tightening tantrum. Remember the taper tantrum of 2013? Well, what we're doing right now is called a tightening tantrum. You can write that down. This is a tantrum that I don't think is going to end until at least the Fed is assuring the markets that they're going to relax a little bit. The problem is that unlike 2013's taper tantrum, the economy has right now an inflation problem. And the Fed right now is under enormous political pressure to rein in inflation. And that means the Fed will allow stocks to fall more before they provide any sort of rhetorical comfort. So think about it this way. The S&P is now trading below expected 22 earnings of 226. And if you multiply that by 20, that's 4520 on the S&P. And it's getting closer to what I would consider reasonable, which would be 19 times earnings or 4295. So we do need to watch earnings right now pretty closely. And markets need the 22 expected earnings to stay stable. And we saw some more of that this week. Because if it doesn't, then that's going to be another headwind on stocks, and we could see easily another 5 to 10% fall from where we are right now. So when does it stop? That's the question I keep getting. When's this all going to stop, Mr. Sandman? I can't stand it anymore. Well, in order for that to happen, we need three things. First, we have to see the Fed back off their hawkish tone right now. Their rhetoric's got to change. Second, earnings have to stay strong. Now, we're about a third of the way right now through the earnings seasons on the S&P 500. 33% of companies have reported. And year over year, they're looking pretty good, up about 24%, which is not bad. And so that's got to continue. That rhetoric's got to continue to be strong from these companies. Otherwise, again, just expect more pressure down. Third, and this is the big one, that's why I talked about ARK, tech has to stabilize. And that could happen, but we just need to keep watching it. So I think, again, where you need to be invested, I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want to talk to you about what Chairman Powell said this week. Now, I am taking a sip of my virtual coffee, so give me a break here. It's delicious. You got to get yourself some of this. I love it. Anyway, Powell this week spoke to us all, and he said a few things that are very important. I think there was a positive tone coming out of this and a negative tone. Clearly you saw it in the market. That's why the market dropped. But what he was saying, which we've been talking about this entire month. If you've been listening to the show, this market segment, I've been saying this for a month now. The Fed is serious about raising rates, and that's going to continue to put pressure on the market. It's just that simple, and it's going to keep markets volatile, which is what I've been saying all month. But at this point, I don't think it's enough to end the bull market, so that's a good thing. The Fed was positive because it took their worst-case scenario off the table, which was something that we were worried about, which was them doing something called asset sales to shrink their balance sheet. They're not going to do that. Also using balance sheet to slow the economy. They said that they're not going to do that either. But the Fed was negative in that Powell said this. He said that we could expect a 50 basis point hike in March. So previously we were thinking about just a 25 basis point hike and three rate hikes. And now we're looking at a 50 in March and potentially three to four more throughout the year. Now, this is where we need to pay attention, because I want to talk to you right now about what I'm watching very closely. And again, it's the 10 to 2 year spread. Because when that gets inverted, then we've got a warning sign going off telling us that stocks are most likely going to enter a worse phase and the economy is going to get really bad. We're not seeing it yet. But after the commentary this week, that compression that I've been talking about has gotten closer. In other words, it's getting lower. It's getting closer to inversion. And this past week, we saw the first time we've seen this in a very long time, 62 basis points. As that continues to slow, as it continues to go down, 50 basis points, 40. If it ever gets to lower than that, that's a warning sign. That's a problem. That's an inversion. And that's a big deal. And the reason why that is a big deal and why we have to keep watching that is because it's the only real signal that we have. Now, how do we dissect that? This is where this gets complicated, and I want to try and make it simple for you because that's my job, is to keep this stuff easy to understand. So at this point, the 10-year treasury, which is trading right around 1.78, and the 2-year yield are reflecting at the moment what Powell just said, 5 rate hikes potentially. The 2-year right now at a 1.13%. Now, that would make the Fed funds rate, the borrowing rate, between, because we don't know how much they're going to raise yet, 1% and 1.25. Right now we're about zero. So if there's 4 or 5 raises and one of them's a 50 basis point, you could see 125 on the Fed fund rate. And that's being reflected in the market right now. So the short end of the bond market, the 2-year I just talked about, the 1.13, that is reflecting what I just said, that this amount of rates are going to increase throughout the year. What could cause more compression in the 10 to 2-year spread? That's what I'm worried about right now. One candidate is more Fed rate hikes. So let's say that, for instance, they came out and they said, well, we could do 6 times this year or more, which again, it's possible. Then we'd see the 2-year yield rise to 1.5% or higher. That's going to further compress the curve, but I don't think that's likely. Another and more likely candidate that I think is going to compress the curve is this. It's a slowing of growth. And this was interesting. This just happened yesterday, the 5-year Michigan Consumer Sentiment Report. You know, I talk about that once a month. I look at it. It came out yesterday, Friday afternoon. Michigan said that in the next year, there's 2 numbers they report, the 1-year inflation expectation and the 5-year expectation. And if you know the show, you know what I talk about. The 1-year at 4.9%, that's high. But the 5-year is what I really care about, because that's looking at the future. And right now it's at 3.1%. It has gone up, because last month it was 2.9. But 3.1 is still within a range I can live with. 3.5 is where I start to get concerned, all right? So the more likely candidate that I think is going to happen is growth will slow and inflation is going to start to pull back. So we've got to really pay attention to that, because if either of those happen, that's going to cause the 10-year treasury to decline more, which will make that 10-2 compression increase. You see what I'm saying? Because you got the 10-year lowering in yield and you got the 2-year rising. And why that would happen would because the Fed just gets it wrong. They don't do it correctly. And that's what happens. And then the market says, okay, guys, you missed the opportunity. You've blown it. Now we got a big problem. The market does what it does. So that's where we are right now. I hope I made that clear. And so that's why we've really got to pay attention to that inflation number and keep our eyes on the earnings reports as they keep coming out. So that's where you want to be. Now, given all that I just said, right now what you're saying to myself, well, what should I do? What should I do right now with my money? Because I don't like it going down. And this past week, I talked to a lot of people who had a lot of technology stocks that have gotten slammed. They're down 20, 30, 40% in some cases. And so I'm going to continue to say this. You should avoid mean sell. Yeah. Sell your high growth, high PE parts of the market. And what you need to think about is where you should be investing. And so I like the recipe that's cooking up right now for the following: core, longer, and medium-term equity allocations to value. Stocks with low price-to-earnings multiples, lower volatility sectors, high-quality cyclicals like financials and industrials, inflation-linked sectors like commodities. Using days like Monday and Thursday, where the market drops, to add positions and get out of those high PE tech, like right now, because Friday yesterday was a pretty good day. So now's the time to get out of that stuff. But if you have to own tech, because I know a lot of people love it, then Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Oracle, not bad. But anything else, I don't know. You know, you got to look at that PE, and if anything's greater than the 50, that's a problem. So lighten up on some of those trading positions or pain points right now in your portfolio and look at things like I just mentioned. I also like international right now, and I like EM, which is also known as emerging markets. Gold, well, this week we saw more pressure on that, and I'm still not a fan right now. So I would be careful if you're speculating around in that as a safe haven. Because know this, as rates rise, which you just heard loud and clear, gold's not where you want to be. It's just that simple.
You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.